What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Blake Harris, our Dodger insider, will join us in about 2 minutes. Laura, what do you got?
All right. I know we always complain about gas prices, but unfortunately, we're going to keep, Sedano, not so much anymore, but we will continue to, cry about them, because starting tomorrow, there is another state tax that's going to go on, that's going to increase gas prices. And from what I read, it could be anywhere from like 4 cents to about 15, 20 cents a gallon.
Come on.
In the state of California?
Yeah.
For reals? Weren't we talking a few months ago about the governor like returning money to people because gas prices were so high?
Yep.
That never happened.
No. Instead of coming down, they did for like, a few days or whatever. But now, starting tomorrow, California's gas tax is about to go up. So we're going to pay more at the pump again.
That's so insane. The other day I filled up at Costco and I paid $5.90 a gallon. And I was like, oh my God, gas is so cheap here. It's only $5.90 a gallon. And when I filled up my car and it was at $98 when my previous fill up was at $110, I was like, oh my God, that's so cheap. Are we out of our minds?
Well, the response from the governor is that, and the legislature, is that they don't want to suspend the sales tax, the state tax on gas, because they don't trust the big oil companies to actually pass the savings on to drivers. They believe they'll just raise the prices.
I don't know, man. Gas prices out.
But I can understand that. You know what I mean? Like, do you trust like the gas companies to like not raise the prices if they suspend the tax?
George, honestly, I'm having a hard time trusting anybody.
Oh, but that's my point.
Especially when it comes to gas prices. And I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know who's to blame.
Oh, I think the oil companies are just giving it to us.
Oh, it's not the media's fault?
No, it's definitely not.
I just usually blame the media.
Media doesn't set the price
the media for
everything. Gas and oil?
Just blame the media.
Yeah. It's always the easy route, for sure.
Right. I'm gonna blame the media.
By the way, speaking of easy, we want you to win something. We want you to win our ESPN LA Dream Ticket Sweepstakes. Here's what you got to do. Join the ESPN LA Street Team Friday, July 1st, tomorrow, at Ramirez Liquor from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, presented by Jim Beam and Hornitos Tequila. Then find the secret code word for your chance to win 2 tickets to experience the best baseball players in the world, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, wink. Then text the secret code that you get there when you arrive at the Van Hit to this number, 40705. So it's a little bit of like a wild goose chase here. So you text the code, the secret code you get to 40705 to enter our ESPN LA Dream Ticket Sweepstakes. We've also been giving away ESPN LA swag to add to your collection when you get there. So see you at Ramirez Liquor at 2765 East Olympic Boulevard on Friday, July 1st from 2 to 4 p.m. All right, we need to apologize to this man, Blake Harris, our Dodger insider. First of all, Laura didn't have your number. That's on us.
My bad.
Because Lindsay's out today. And we screwed up. And we also just started talking because we had been talking nonsense for 30 minutes. And we were like, oh, we should probably get back to UCLA and the whole basketball stuff. And then forgot that it was your segment, which we should have never done. So if you never want to appear again or want to take, like, I don't know, fine us in some way, shape, or form, you are allowed to at this point. It's deserved.
Oh, good. No, you guys are, with all the news going on today, this is like one of the craziest days in sports that I can remember between the Durant, debacle, everything going on with UCLA, USC. I was thinking, man, the Dodgers, there's no time for the Dodgers tonight. So all good, guys. No hard feelings here.
Okay. Well, thank you, buddy. And Blake, again, normally appears 5:45 every Thursday. So we screwed up and he's on the next segment. So this Freddie Freeman thing. Now, this is our opinion, or my opinion, and Cappy and I think we're on the same page on this, was, to me, this became a big deal, not when he was there having his emotional moment in Atlanta, although that felt like, oh, wow, like, okay, that really meant a lot to him, and it was understandable. A guy can be a little homesick. I get it. He was there for 15 years or whatever. But when Clayton Kershaw made his comments about, we're a pretty good team, too. We don't want to be second fiddle. I'm like, ooh. That's pointed in like a nice way, but absolutely pointed. So when that happened, did your antenna raise as well?
It definitely did, because Clayton Kershaw is not the kind of guy that you often hear a lot of quotes from. Usually you hear what he has to say in the totes game presser after a start. Outside of that, you rarely hear from the guy. So when you hear Clayton Kershaw, Mr. Dodger himself, coming out and saying, we don't want to be second fiddle, that definitely raised some eyebrows, because now you're thinking, okay, are the guys in the clubhouse, are they getting upset by this? Are they starting to go, wait, Freddie, like, we're your teammates now, we're your boys. Do you not want us? Is there a problem here? So, yeah, I didn't think much anything of it, because, again, him crying last week in Atlanta, totally understand it was an emotional thing. But the way it's been dragging out, and, yeah, hearing potentially teammates getting upset by it, it definitely raised my eyebrows when I heard it coming from Kirsch.
But did you guys read that all this controversial rumors about the agent that represented Freddie Freeman, is the same agent for Clayton Kershaw? Did you guys hear about that? Have you guys read that anywhere? Same agent?
Yeah, they're both. Well, they were both.
Dansby Swanson.
They were both represented by Excel, yes. So, and Dansby Swanson of the Atlanta Braves, yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is that it just seems like there's something really weird going on, I feel like. You know, the whole leaving Atlanta, Freddie Freeman, something seems wrong in the clubhouse. And by the way, he's performed. All we've heard is just the one thing from Kershaw, but I don't know. There's something. Don't you guys feel like there's something weirder going on?
I mean, the good thing is that, like you mentioned, Scott, at least he's performing. I mean, if he was having, like, the worst season of his career, then I think Freddie would be the most hated man in L.A. The good thing is he's still putting up some all-star numbers. But, yeah, this whole thing, it's just weird because, you know, everyone knew the second that Freddie signed with the Dodgers, the Braves didn't want him. The Braves opted to not re-sign him. They opted to trade for Matt Olson. So everyone knew that, you know, the Dodgers weren't Freddie's number one option. Everyone knows that. And Dodgers fans were okay with that. Everyone knows that he wanted to go back to Atlanta. So it felt like a big surprise that, you know, the Dodgers were the second option. But it's kind of weird that this is, again, getting dragged on more when this was a story that we already knew about. But now it's kind of seeming like, okay, actually, did he really want to go to Atlanta and the agent just didn't tell him something, or the Braves weren't telling him something? Because someone's lying, whether it's Freddie Freeman, whether it's the agent, whether it's the Braves. Because all of these stories coming together, they don't add up. So it's just a matter of this point, who's lying? I mean, at this point, it's done. It's a thing of the past. You know, every day there's something new that comes out. There's a new statement. So hopefully it blows over by tomorrow. But I wouldn't be shocked if tomorrow something else unfolds with this entire debacle. But it's weird. Like, this isn't something we've really ever seen in recent memory between a player, a team, and an agent, let alone a respectable agent. That I think even earlier, Derek Jeter came out. And he used to be represented by this agent, mm-hmm. and said, I've known this guy for 30 years. This is not like anything he's done. So who's lying? Like, you know, no one knows. And it's kind of, like I said, annoying at this point, but it's like high school drama, and hopefully it comes to an end, but I don't know.
I agree. That's exactly what I equated it to yesterday, was high school drama. Now, do you think Freeman needs to address this with the media?
I don't know, because, I mean, you know, he's already said as much as he, I guess, needs to say. And whether or not, you know, it's something that he wants to personally address, I think he's probably talked to his teammates about it. I know yesterday he was asked by reporters and he declined to comment. I don't think so, because, again, I don't think it's something that needs to be addressed, because, again, we all know that the Braves didn't want him. The Dodgers were a second option and he came home. So, you know, he's not really providing anyone with any new information. I think the agent said all that can be said. I think Freddie said that all can be said. Maybe the Braves are holding something back. I mean, then again, the way they kind of screwed him over with the whole Matt Olson thing, I wouldn't put it past them to, you know, potentially doing something shady behind the scenes. So I don't think he needs to address anything. Just, again, hopefully, you know, he can't really put this in the past, because every day, you know, something else is coming out, whether it's the agent or someone else. So maybe if there's a 24-hour stretch where we don't hear anything about the story, it'll blow past. But until we go 24 hours without this story adding on, I'll believe it when I see it.
All right, Blake Harris. Big series starts tonight. For all the news today, USC, UCLA, NBA free agency, this has taken a back seat. But this is a really, really big series starting this weekend between the Padres and the Dodgers. I just read that Manny Machado will be in the lineup hitting number two as a DH tonight for San Diego, which, you know, he's been out for the last 10 days. So handicap it for us. How do you expect it to go down?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. I mean, this is only the second meeting of the season between these two teams. And, you know, we're nearly 3 months into the season. So it's going to be great seeing these two teams go at it the first meeting at Dodger Stadium. A four-game series. I mean, it's a big one. This could impact the NL West race for, you know, a few months or so if one team's able to take three or four, one team's able to sweep. It's going to be an interesting test because the Dodgers and Padres, they've been battling injuries. They've been dealing with a lot. And I think it's going to be a fun matchup to see these two teams go at it. And like I said, a lot can be impacted by the NL race between the series. And hopefully, you know, this is a small sample size of what we can expect come September. I think they meet like 3 or 4 different times in September. So hopefully this is a nice little preview. But I'm looking forward to it. It's the biggest series of the year for the Dodgers by far.
I saw your most recent post, and you can go and make sure you subscribe to Blake's great work. We support him. Well, at least I do. Cappy doesn't really. But his Substack is great, and you can follow him there at Substack, or go to his Substack, substack.com, and look for Blake Harris, and you can see his great Dodger work there. Or follow him on Twitter, at the very least, at Blake Harris, TBLA. Tell people about what you've been discussing with my boy Gavin Lux, and I say that facetiously because I'm not the biggest Gavin Lux guy, although he has been performing more recently, it seems like.
Yeah, George, I need to go back to that episode when you asked about Lux and see what his numbers look like since that episode, because I feel like he's hitting about 400 since we initially talked about him. But yeah, it's an interesting thing with Gavin Lux because, you know, we talked about it about a month ago. He hasn't quite lived up to expectations. But he's quietly been really good this season. He has the second best on-base percentage on the Dodgers. Higher than Trey Turner, higher than Mookie Betts, higher than Will Smith. He's been fantastic. But for some reason, he's been hitting ninth. Now, back in the good old days of baseball, and I'm talking maybe, you know, just 5 years ago, when you have a guy that is the second highest on-base percentage on the team, usually you hit a lot higher than ninth in the lineup. But I guess the Dodgers, Dave Roberts, they have a strategy. The analytics back it up. You want him hitting ninth, so that way he's right in front of guys like Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, which I totally get behind. My only problem is when they start hitting him seventh or eighth, because then you're having automatic outs behind him, which defeats the whole purpose of, you know, hitting him at the back of the lineup. I think when you have a guy that's getting on base at an all-star level, he should be higher in the lineup, especially considering some of the names they've been throwing out there. But like I said, essentially you're nearly automatic outs at this point. So Gavin Lux is having a fantastic season. I mean, for the most part, his numbers are all-star level, just needs to hit a few more home runs. But for some reason, again, the Dodgers have this strategy, hitting him dead last in the lineup. But like I said, if the analytics back it up, I can get behind it. But I do have some questions with it. But then again, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars to make these decisions, and we're not. So we're just going to have to trust them on this.
Are we?
Probably not, but we got to say we are.
I'm so looking forward to this series. I really am. And tonight, by the way, if you're the Padres, if you got one really good shot, tonight's your night. Because the pitching matchup is very favorable tonight for San Diego. It'll be more favorable tomorrow for the Dodgers. And then over the course of the weekend, man, these could be toss-ups. They really could be.
Yeah, tonight's going to be an interesting one. Joe Musgrove, I know a lot of people are really high in him. I know, Scott, especially, you're a particular fan of Joe Musgrove. You can make the case he's been the best starter of the National League this season, and he's going up against Mitch White, where Mitch White's no slouch. Love Mitch White, but the Padres, they have the advantage tonight. But all these pitching matchups, you know, over the next 4 games, even though both teams are not fully healthy, these are some pretty good pitching matchups. And like you said, any game, even tonight, you can make the case could be a toss-up because anything can happen in a rivalry game. But these 4 games, they're going to be exciting. You're going to get both these teams giving it their all. And nobody wants to beat the Padres more than the Dodgers. Nobody wants to beat the Dodgers more than the Padres. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, you know, we get some I'm not hoping for a benches clearing brawl, but I hope we see some passion out there. I want to see these two teams because these are the two best teams in the division, maybe the two best teams in the entire National League. I want to see some passion out there on the field because, again, you only get so many of these matchups, and this is the first one of the year at Dodger Stadium.
Blake Harris. He's our Dodger insider, joins us every week, normally at 5:45, unless we're idiots and we forget, on Thursdays.
Or if a lot of other stuff is happening, George,
well,
come on.
I mean, we're idiots, let's just be honest with you. It's fine. Like, we should be able to agree on that. But nonetheless, he does fantastic work. You should subscribe to his Substack. Go to substack.com and type in Blake Harris on the search. Or follow him, at the very least, on Twitter, at Blake Harris, TBLA. My man, thank you so much. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week, and congrats on all the awards you guys won last week at the Mandy's. Best show out there in ESPN LA. Everyone deserved it. Major congrats to all those that were involved.
Wow. Thank you, my bud. Man, Balake.
Yeah.
That's the way to finish things off right there, George.
Yes, it is.
Balake.
All right, coming up next, let's get back. UCLA, USC, and how seismic a move this actually is, and how it's shook up the college sports landscape next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Baby. Go, Cappy. Crank it up, Laura.
See, I don't really know the words yet. But you see, we were talking about songs of the summer.
Yeah, this is one for sure.
This is when songs of the summer become said songs of the summer.
Yeah.
Because it's going into the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
It's hot outside.
Yeah.
I mean, it's staying light till 8:30 in the evening.
Yeah.
Kids are out of school.
Yeah.
Feels good. Summer feels good.
I love summer. Bop, bop, bop. By the way, happy birthday today. Without Lindsay here today, we didn't have all the birthday and this day in history and all that stuff yet. We've kind of neglected that. Couple of birthdays that are notable today. You ready, Cappy?
Tell me. Let me hear who you got.
Mike Tyson, your boy.
Look at me, man. Look at my eye. Look at me, man. I got to go home to my kid. Look at me. He got another ear. I'm ready to fight. He don't want to fight.
Somehow you made that Mike Tyson turns into like an Adam Sandler character.
Listen, we had the 25-year anniversary this week of Tyson Holyfield and the ear biting.
Yeah,
it gave me an opportunity to go back and watch all that stuff, you know, the Jim Gray interviews.
Mm-hmm.
God, I loved Mike Tyson back then.
Yeah,
look at me, man. Look at my eye.
You totally sound like Adam Sandler.
Look at me, man.
And the Waterboy or something.
Yeah, a weird Adam Sandler.
It's really ridiculous. Michael Phelps' birthday today, 36.
Michael Phelps.
Yeah, man, by the way, Tyson 55, Phelps 36.
Uh-huh. I had a buddy of mine a couple years ago go to Halloween as Michael Phelps. Dude shows up in a full-on Speedo, like a little teeny tiny one.
But is he like ripped like Michael Phelps?
Not even close. This guy's about 6'2 and about 280. Shows up in a tiny little Speedo and like a whole bunch of gold medals wrapped around his neck. That's a great Halloween costume, especially if you're not ripped.
Yeah, I would agree. And then the last one, also, I don't believe you know this particular person well.
Let me hear the name.
But you know his dad, obviously. Cody Rhodes, 36 years old today.
You telling me Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream?
Yeah, his son.
You don't know about hard times, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times. Or when the auto workers are out of work, and hard times is when a man has worked in a job for 30 years. 30 years. They give him a watch, they kick him in the butt, and they say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard times. That's hard times. Oh, God, that felt so good. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt so freaking good. Seriously, like my shoulders may have been in my ears. I'm like completely relaxed right now. That was so... How good was that?
That was good.
How do I remember this stuff?
I mean, you know.
I've been losing a lot of short-term memory lately, but the long-term is still there.
Yeah. Good for you, Cappy.
Thanks, man.
All right. So anyway, today, in the, I'm going to do this real quick, and then we'll get to the USC stuff. Today in major events from history, the book Gone with the Wind was published. J.K. Rowling's, the first Harry Potter book was also published, interestingly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. The Corvette in 1953 debuted.
George, listen, all of these things that you're saying, Gone with the Wind, the Corvette. I love the Corvette. And let me be on record right now. I even love the newest, latest edition of the Corvette. I know a lot of people don't love it. I happen to love the Corvette. I love the old school Stingray Corvettes. Mm-hmm. And I love the newest of school Corvettes. I love American muscle cars. So if I ever get super rich, I'm not buying Ferraris, Lamborghinis. I'm buying Corvettes. Yellow, bright yellow, banana yellow Corvettes. But let me just say
Bugatti.
Something to you. You like a Bugatti?
That's what I want.
And so Bugatti is very good, yes?
Bugatti.
Yeah. I'm a muscle car. I'm an American muscle car guy. So I'm still into Corvettes. But, George, all these historical things that you're bringing up here this afternoon, mm-hmm. in 20 years, when somebody says, in this day in history, Gone with the Wind, people are going to be like, eh, who cares? In this day in history, the Corvette, nah, who cares? On this day in history, USC and UCLA decided to leave for the Big Ten. It's just shocking.
That's going to be a big thing. No question. I agree with you. It's going to be a monster moment. Like, there's no doubt.
It is literally a shocking development. By the way, how left out of left field did this come today, right?
Like, well, here's the other thing. And somebody in the community on Twitter said this too. How crazy is it that it wasn't leaked beforehand?
And did you see who was the original report on this? It wasn't like some, you know, well-known ESPN college football person. It was like the San Jose Mercury News or some like random smaller market kind of newspaper publication.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw it on the bottom line on ESPN. It was like, hey, USC, UCLA are going to join the Big Ten as reported by the San Jose Mercury News. And I think that's who reported it. Could have been the Sacramento Bee for all I know. I mean, I just looked at it and went, little town newspaper reports massive story about the two LA schools. It just was so out of left field and so utterly unexpected.
No, it was amazing. It was incredible. Like, I was stunned, like stunned. Like, at first, I didn't believe it. And I was like, oh, wow, this is real.
I hate all of this realignment on one hand. The old school part of me, I like USC versus UCLA in the Pac-12. I liked Oklahoma versus Nebraska back when it was a relevant, you know, kind of deal. Texas A&M, Pitt, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. I liked all the old school rivalries, Alabama, Auburn. But with all the realignment, I can't say, though, how excited I am. I have to admit, to see USC play Michigan.
Yeah.
Penn
State. It's going to be awesome. Ohio State.
Wisconsin, right.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Although Keyshawn tweeted earlier, he said, I'm glad I didn't have to make those trips because you see it on the map and it's so far away, you know?
I know, but listen, as much
but
as...
I will say this for the kids, that's a pain in the ass.
It is, but and because USC and UCLA will have to do so much traveling east, Michigan will fly west and Wisconsin will fly west. But
they're going to have to fly east way more.
They will show you every year that USC and UCLA are in the conference. They will show you, here's the 150,000 miles that USC and UCLA had to travel, and here's the 25,000 miles Michigan and Ohio State had to travel for the season.
And I don't think that's insignificant. Like, there's been stories on NBA teams that have had to travel the most, and it takes its toll. Now, granted, that's a little different because, you know, there are games every other night and sometimes even back-to-back. But making those trips coast-to-coast, you know, in essence, in some cases, you know, every week or every other week, like, the scheduling is going to be fascinating. And I think it will wear them down a little bit at times. You're still talking about kids, man.
I always feel like teams from the West Coast, in particular NFL teams,
coming east is tough.
Who go east, it's always really hard.
Yeah.
You know, because let's just say, for example, let's say that the kickoff is at noon from Happy Valley in Penn State. Noon Eastern time is 9 a.m. By the time you're on the field, okay, it's 10 a.m. in the morning. You're warming up at 10 a.m. That's 7 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
The advantage is to the East Coast team more often than not.
Usually, yeah. Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, I'm sure Lincoln Riley will have the guys ready to roll, so I'm not really, like, super worried about that.
You don't feel that confident about Chip Kelly, though, huh?
Not yet. I got to see. Although I think they'll be pretty good this year. Look, if UCLA's not pretty good this year, then Chip's probably going to, you know, I don't know how much. I know he just signed an extension, but I don't know how much longer he's going to be around, is my guess.
Well, the shine of his years at Oregon have kind of been dulled, you know, through the different stops along the way and the lack of success since Oregon.
Yeah. By the way, the reporter who broke this, John Wilner, I just looked it up on the Yahoo story. That guy's been around forever covering the Pac-12. Like, he's like a big, he's super connected in the Pac-12.
But who was it? Like, was it one of those smaller town publications?
Yeah, San Jose Mercury News is who he works for, I believe. But he has been around forever. He's the Pac-12 hotline guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I'm telling you, he's been around forever.
Well, I'm not doubting you. I'm just saying, I don't know the guy.
You made him sound like he was, you know, like Joe Schmo's blog. You know what
well,
I mean?
I'm just saying. I mean, San Jose Mercury News, this is not Sam Farmer at the LA Times breaking an NFL story. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, John Wilmer is kind of like Sam Farmer, though.
But the San Jose Mercury
for
News.
For college,
is,
for Pac-12 news, is what I'm saying.
But the San Jose Mercury News is not the LA Times. Nothing.
You know what
Post.
You just did? You did thing. I don't know him, so it's not, you know, he's not a big-time guy.
Oh, no. He might be a big-time guy. I'm just saying the publication is a smaller market publication.
Yeah,
so it's interesting
it's
that
it's still part of the Bay Area, San Jose.
It is. It's not the San Francisco Chronicle. I mean,
it's
San
not.
Francisco. San Francisco
but the
Chronicle
San Jose Mercury
like,
News breaks a lot of news.
Okay. Well, I guess I better do a better job. I wonder if I follow the San Jose Mercury News.
You know what? You better subscribe to it now.
You know, I guess I better do better.
You don't subscribe to journalism, though. So there's that.
I subscribe to sensationalism, which is why the New York Post is more up my alley.
Or the Sun, right? From like England or whatever.
Right. The San Jose Mercury News. All right. I'm looking for these guys now.
All right.
I'm looking for them. And what's this guy's name?
John Wilner.
John Wilner. W-I-L-N-E-R?
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
John Wilner. There he is.
He's like a big-time guy. I just saw when I Googled it now because I wanted to see who broke the story, and Yahoo had his name attributed to it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy's been around forever.
All right. He's at Wilner Hotline, and I just became his 33,000th and 801st Twitter follower.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to him. He's got you on the radio promoting the fact that he's a big-time guy.
Well, but even people in our audience are saying he's a big-time guy. Now I'm looking at the community. The community's you know, a little disappointed in you, Cappy.
Yeah, I know. Somebody's saying some things. I don't know what happened here, but yeah, people are all over me right now. Oh, no. Here's one. Yo, great Dusty Rhodes impression. Yeah, that one's the one I liked. I mean, right, I went from Mike Tyson to Dusty Rhodes in one segment, man. Come on, don't do that at home.
Yeah, but you notice he didn't say a good Mike Tyson impression.
That's true, but I'm just telling you, you'll twist your tongue.
Yeah. All right, big deal or no deal, next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks, Christopher. Now, Laura, you take it away today because Lindsay's out. It's Laura's gig today.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Sedano. See, I can't pull it off.
It wasn't bad.
I tried. I was like, I'm going to try this, but, you know, no, not my thing. Okay, here we go. Cappy, this one I think was written for you. Logan Paul is officially becoming a WWE superstar. The YouTube inked a deal with a wrestling giant that will have him involved in multiple events throughout next year. Cappy. Is this a big deal or no deal?
I'm going to go big deal. I think this is so freaking brilliant by the WWE and by this kid Paul. Just the same way I think it's brilliant that the Big Ten went after USC and UCLA or vice versa. I just love this move. This guy's got millions and millions of YouTube subscribers, and he's got ways to communicate to all of these people. So now you're bringing all of his people into the WWE. I think it's brilliant on both sides. Big deal.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal. There's no doubt. And by the way, our buddy Ariel Helwani was first to report that. So good job by our buddy Ariel. We're going to try to get Ariel on tomorrow. There's a big UFC card this weekend. UFC 276 is going to be pretty awesome. So make sure you check that out. But yeah, it's a big deal. You nailed it, Cappy. It's just a smart business decision for both.
I love Ariel because just like Ike, he cannot ride a bike.
He cannot ride a bike. That's fair.
Okay, second one.
I told you I could teach you.
You've been saying that for months, so I'm going
to
go with,
park.
You know.
Just need to go to a park.
All right, Cappy.
Laura, there is a place, though, that... Uh-huh. That will teach you in like 90 minutes to ride a bike.
Literally sent...
for like $30 or something.
Oh, like dude, I have to do that. Because I remember when you posted, Sedano, that your wife like succeeded in teaching...
Yeah, with my daughter. Yeah,
I was like, yo, I need to contract your wife.
But,
I
yeah, so, but here's the thing. I think that you can do that. The problem is it's going to be like a lot of like 6 and 7 year olds there with you.
Dang. That'd be funny though, you know?
Oh, like, it would be great
grown-ass
video.
Grown-ass woman. Yeah.
It would be a great video.
Oh, my God. Okay, moving on. So Radio 101, as we all know, the mic is always hot, so be careful with what you say. Well, it seems that Howard Stern forgot that the basic rule, the golden rule, your mic is always hot. During a break on his SiriusXM show, Stern was chatting with his producer and mentioned that they wouldn't be able to talk much this summer. His co-host, Robin Quivers, joined the conversation, and Howard mentioned that he was going to be doing Dr. Doom. He admits he's less than thrilled about it. The problem, Marvel hasn't announced the Dr. Doom project yet and is unclear if it will be a standalone film or a Disney Plus series about the character. Is Stern slip a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
I mean, it's always a big deal because it's the Marvel Universe and people go nuts for it, understandably so. So, yes, it is a big deal.
Well, then throw on top of that, yeah, big deal. Throw on top of it, you're talking about Stern. And it's, you know, it's not really, I hate to say it, it's like, yeah, the mics are hot, but you're kind of relying on your people, you know. And but Stern's a huge, like, comic book fan.
Yeah.
So how he somehow becomes this character, whoever the character is, you know, I'm not into the Marvel stuff, but I'm a Stern fan, so I would probably be going. But, man, he puts that out there unknowingly.
Well,
and that could turn into quite the big buzz. That's cool, man. I like that story.
I figured, like, A, either they did it on purpose so it leaks, right? Or, like you said, like, I'm really big on you guys. Like, yo, you're clear. Because I know, like Saddam says, he likes to curse. So I have to be careful. Or if someone's in the studio, I'm like, yo, someone's here. You got to take care of your people. But neither here nor there.
Yep.
All right. After not commenting on the new Lightyear film, the original Buzz Lightyear, a.k.a. Tim Allen, finally broke silence. He said this is not a this is a whole new team that really has nothing to do with the first movies. The short answer is I've stayed out of it because it has nothing to do with the character. There's no real no Toy Story Buzz without Woody. Woody is Buzz's best pal and was played was Woody's best pal. My bad. It says that he didn't really think that the movie was, it was all right, pretty much. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about the original one throwing shade to the new one. Just saying. But do you guys think it's a big deal or no deal that he thinks kind of about the
movie? I don't think it's a big deal because I think it's, look, this is a different story. It's an origin story about Buzz Lightyear. You know what I mean? So it's not like. And it's not like Buzz Lightyear, the toy from Toy Story. It's like the Buzz Lightyear actual superhero character. So considering the interest in superheroes and the interest in Toy Story, it's at least a worthwhile project, I would say.
I'm going to say this is no deal because I didn't even know there was a new Buzz Lightyear. And I like the old Buzz Lightyear.
I told you. I've done it for
We have talked about this on the show. Like,
yeah, but it's one of those things that, listen, a lot of times when I get off the air, I forget about everything that happened on the air. But
that
it's
makes
just,
sense.
But it's still one of those things that, like, really? So there's a new one that's a prequel. I hate prequels, by the way. Can't you start from the beginning? Anyway.
That is the beginning.
No. But it came after.
Right. It's an origin story.
Anyway, I love Buzz Lightyear. I love Woody. I really love that movie. I didn't know there was a new one. And Tim Allen throwing shade. No deal.
Okay. So here's another one for you guys.
Yeah.
As of 2024, the airline says it will be offering full bunk beds to its economy class passengers.
Which airline?
It just says airlines.
Oh, airlines as in general?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It says not just for the wealthy at the front of the plane. In a welcoming option for those stuck in long-haul flights. So you can't just be out of nowhere. You got to be, like, probably stuck somewhere. Passengers will be able to rent one of six separate lie-flat sleep pods for 4-hour periods. Is this approach for the economy class flying a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
Oh, it's Air New Zealand, by the way. I just found it here. So I'm looking at it here. It's pretty damn cool. I'm wondering what the cost of this will be because it doesn't
probably going to be cheap. I'm just saying.
And it's only on their 787s. And it will start in 2024.
2024, yes. Yo, airline prices are so bad. I'm trying to go
to
New York.
You want
to
hear something?
Cool.
Listen. Hold on. Let me tell you about this. Have you ever been in one of those lie flats, Cappy?
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game changer, of course.
I mean, I can sleep in those things, even if it's for a few hours. Like, I can knock out in one of those things.
Yeah, I've done plenty of, like, cross-country, late night, red eyes with those things. It's just total game changer.
Yeah, you actually feel like you have, like, some rest. Yes, I would agree. So, yeah, it look, there some airlines you can find, like, I'll give you an example, like JetBlue. Sometimes certain routes on certain days, Like, you have to find, like, kind of, like, you have to bargain shop a little bit and do a lot of research. But you can find it for not economy prices, but not first-class prices, is what I would say.
It's, like, decent.
Yeah, I would say, like, you could find some of them at, like, a 60% discount, 65% Ooh. Discount. And that, on a cross-country trip, is absolutely worth it.
You know, Laura, you're saying about prices for airline tickets. Mm-hmm. When I went to Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. you would have thought that I was flying to Rome.
New Zealand.
Yeah. Or New Zealand, for that matter. That's how expensive the plane ticket was.
So
I didn't have
bad.
Really, I didn't have an option. But you know what? Today, I was booking a flight for my son to go back to college.
Mm-hmm.
LAX to Pittsburgh. There is only one. This
direct.
Is unbelievable. Only one direct flight, LAX
yeah,
to Pittsburgh,
it.
That I could find. Okay?
It's so bad.
Now, here's the problem. The least expensive ticket was the only nonstop. Granted, it's a red eye, which I don't have a problem with.
Oh, I love red eye flights.
Not
but
me,
you're
I hate
but
it.
You, but what airline is it? You ready?
What
Spirit
is
Airlines.
Oh no!
Spirit.
No.
So ultimately, I said to my son, "What's the most important thing? Getting there the fastest without having to do a layover?" Well, guess what? You're going on Spirit, and you know what we're going to do? Because now I'm going to fight back against Spirit. Rather than paying them all this money for carry-ons or for luggage or for anything else, I'm going to ship his crap back to Pittsburgh.
It's cheaper.
And then rather than pay Spirit.
Yeah.
You're not getting me this time, Spirit. I'm getting you.
Oh, Spirit sucks, man.
What? When is he flying back, Abby?
August 2nd, I think.
Okay, August 2nd. Hold on a second. Looking here on Kayak real quick.
You're going to try and find another flight for me?
Yeah, hold
you
on.
You want to find one for New York?
Hold on, LAX.
LAX to Pittsburgh, George. I found one
American
direct
Airlines,
flight.
Bro. One stop. Oh, one stop, sorry.
See? Direct versus one stop.
How much but was the How much was the Spirit Airlines?
$255.
Oh, that's not bad.
Direct. Yeah, but then you got to pay all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do it. I'm going to ship his stuff like UPS. I don't know. Amazon can take it on a drone for all I care. All I'm saying is that rather than pay them another $1,000 where they're like, we got you, idiot. You paid $255. It was the cheapest flight, no stops. And you know what? We got you for all the luggage because now you're screwed. I'm going to get them. He just got to get there safely. Spirit, just get them there safely. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
Let me curse you on air, but get my son there safely.
Sorry about that, everybody.
I mean, you could do like, you know, I don't know, man. I would never fly Spirit.
I got
never.
Stuck on
I did
Spirit.
It one time, and it was like a 90-minute flight, and I will never do it again.
It's so bad. So with us, well, first of all, I was going to Cincinnati, but that's a whole other situation.
Right.
They super gypped us because my friend bought the flight. We ended in Spirit. It was a horrible experience. They shipped
awful.
It. Oh, it was just not worth it. Not
you know,
worth
I,
the same money.
Delta does it direct to Cincinnati every day.
Delta is amazing.
Delta's great. And I will tell you that I've flown Frontier, and I've sworn I'll never fly Frontier again.
That's
Frontier
too.
Is Spirit-ish.
Yeah.
And I know it's
adjacent,
close. Here's the thing about Spirit Airlines I should really be thinking to myself about. One of my college roommates is a pilot for Spirit Airlines.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, if I get on that plane and my man is flying it, I'm off.
No.
I'm out. Dude, that's my man right there, but he ain't flying me.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
wow.
He could be working for American, Delta. He could be working for Southwest. I love them all. But not him. He ain't flying me.
Wow, Cappy.
Really?
Wow.
He ain't flying me.
What's this guy's name?
For real?
I can't tell you. Captain. Oh. Let's just call him Captain.
Yeah.
We just want to know. Well, I don't fly Frontier or. Yeah, so we're good.
Actually, I'm only joking. You know what, man? This guy, if he was flying me, I'd be like, wow, that's my man up there. He's flying it.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked that he's a pilot, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. You know, none of my college buddies are like, yo, Kaplan's on the radio. They're like, no way, really? They're like, yeah, that's kind of what he was always probably going to do. But this guy being a pilot, it's like, really? This
big surprise. Well, doesn't that happen to you occasionally with, like, guys who are, like, cops that you grew up with?
Yes.
And you're like, I never would have thought this guy would be a cop?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. My one buddy who I went to college with who became a cop, he was a cop before he was a cop.
Or the girls that are now, like, soccer moms and they're like super like goody two shoes. I'm like, what the hell happened to you?
Got married and became a soccer mom.
They were doing a lot in high school, though.
So there's a girl that I know who will remain nameless.
Just
who is like not only like she was a party animal, okay, like of the highest order, and she's now And I look, ain't knocking it, you know, but like super, super religious now.
Dude,
and
right?
I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Wait, I got one just like that. I have a buddy of mine, one of my college buddies. He became a rabbi. He's been a rabbi for 25, 30 years, this guy.
Wow.
You know, he's probably 53 years old. He's probably been a rabbi 25 years.
Yeah.
This guy in college, I'm like, wait a second. Come on. You're a religious like leader of a community? Well, like a congregation of people? Really? Okay. If you say so.
Yeah. Pretty weird, man.
So weird.
Yeah.
Did I mention this guy wasn't Jewish?
Flights,
did I mention
there
that?
Are no
did
directs. I've tried every airport. I've tried Ontario. I've tried Santa Ana.
Dude, same. I tried San Diego. I tried John Wayne. I tried Long Beach. And I finally just said
Burbank.
LAX. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going just LAX. Looking at Burbank now. No directs. Yeah. But I found you like a cheap, like a pretty cheap one stop.
Less than $255?
Not less than $255, but
think about that.
More.
The cheapest flight is the only direct flight.
Because it's Spirit.
Yeah. Can you find me some flights to Cleveland? I got to go to Cleveland, Ohio.
So there's a red eye or Ontario to Pittsburgh. Ontario up in, you know, like the Pomona area.
I.E.
Yeah. Through Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Red eye. Mm. You know?
I'll never do a red eye with a stop again, ever.
No, that's awful. But, you know, I mean, it's your kid. What do you care?
I know. Well, that's, again, direct flight, Spirit Airlines, not going to pay them for all the extra stuff. Shout out to Spirit. I hope you guys are safe and successful. But I've done this before where I thought I was getting the cheaper flight, and then I wind up having to pay for all the baggage.
Is there another city that's more. Close by that's not Pittsburgh?
No, Pittsburgh's really it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could have probably thought about, like, Wheeling, West Virginia.
Well, that seems even harder to get to.
I would think so. That's, yeah. I mean, you're not going to find a bunch of direct flights, are you?
Yeah. No. You got to go to Cleveland? Ask Lindsay. She probably knows.
I know. I got to go to Cleveland to go see, on a weekend, my kid's college football team is going to play against Notre Dame, George, in Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah. Well, not real Notre Dame, like Notre Dame College, not like, you know, Notre Dame on NBC. And that's on a Saturday, and the Browns open up against the Jets the next day. So I'm going to make it a little football weekend, you know?
Oh, good for you.
Probably looking at one of those red eyes, too. Probably looking at, like, that 9:30 flight out of LAX right into Cleveland.
Hmm. All right, that is Big Deal or No Deal. We're way over the break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead,
this is a good jam right here. This sounds good. I like this.
Come on.
What do we got here, Laura? I don't know what we have here, but this sounds good.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who that is?
I mean, I know the song. Now I know the song.
Elton John and Dua Lipa.
Go, Cappy.
See, you feel this, right, George? You feel it.
Yeah.
When you feel it, that's what you do. You're like, yeah, yo, See how you just feel it and you just make noises. By the way, I want to say to everybody who's listening this afternoon, early this evening, thank you for sending me the love, telling me that my impressions are so bad that that's what makes them good. And again, respect, you know, put a little respect on my name here. When you can go from Mike Tyson to Dusty Rhodes in the same segment.
And I want my damn respect, too.
Right. I mean, that's like gymnastics of the tongue right there is what that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, thankfully, Mike Tyson and Dusty Rhodes both have kind of a lift. Feel me?
Yeah.
Anyway, George, are you still playing Traveling Secretary right now?
I am. I'm getting you your flight to Cleveland. God, what time you want to fly back from Cleveland?
Oh, the earliest flight, man. First
704?
Flight out.
704?
Yeah, 704.
Yeah, so you're looking at $582 in economy, round trip.
Round trip, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, what time do I get into L.A.?
9:12.
In the morning. That's great. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Okay.
God, you're good, man. For me, this is like a monster chore. Like
it's so
procrastinate
easy.
For so long.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Super easy.
Well, it's a nice little break from the day. Today was a crazy day as we head off into the evening, guys. To wrap up today, it all happened at around like for me, like around like 11:30. It went from USC and UCLA are reportedly going to join the Big Ten Two, Kevin Durant wants out in advance of free agency opening.
Right. And then Mason Ireland lying that Kevin Durant would be a Laker.
Wow, it's a lie, huh?
I mean, it's not really happening.
I mean, was it a theory or was it a lie?
I mean, they were like making it seem, they were taking calls. They were milking that thing, boy.
Really?
Yeah.
So now, later, as the day has progressed, USC and UCLA not exactly being bashful about it. I mean, they're putting out press releases on this thing. They're celebrating it. It went from it's rumored to we're acknowledging it all within just a couple of hours. Durant, the Durant story's out there, the Kyrie story's out there, the Lakers, George, and I would love it if you could do this because, frankly, for me, I don't know these guys, seriously. The Lakers go out and sign four dudes here today in free agency. And by all accounts, check me on this, they're all clutch clients. Is that really, really true?
Correct, yeah. Well, I don't think Damian Jones is, but Lonnie Walker, Troy Brown Jr., and Juan Toscano-Anderson.
So the Lakers add all these pieces to the puzzle today, and nobody's doing cartwheels like they just won the championship.
No, but they're good signings. Like I actually believe, you know me, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I think those are all good signings. Those are the type of players the Lakers need. They need guys who are young. They went really old last year.
Right.
I put a tweet that I found from somebody on Twitter. It said, Lakers went from old folks home to last chance you.
That's pretty funny. But yeah. But it's a good point though, right? Like last year it was Carmelo and it was Dwight and it was Russ and it was all these guys. And, you know, we were thinking of ourselves, well, they're kind of old. And then of course, you know, you pointed out, well, yeah, but the older teams are the teams that, you know, have won the championships just by average age.
Right. And but they were way over.
Right. And these guys were, as Charles Barkley called them all year, old fogies. And what they've done is they've gone out and gotten a bunch of young guy role players who should all be grateful that they're sharing a locker room with the king. So all these kids will come in and be like, yo, listen to what I tell you to do. And they're like, okay, LeBron, whatever you say, just tell me to do it. And that's the way it should be, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as we get to the end of the day, at the end of this crazy-ass day in sports, now you've got the Dodgers and the Padres in what is essentially a battle for first place, because even though the Dodgers are in first place, they have the same number of wins, these two teams.
They do.
What a day in sports. George, it actually forced you and me to talk sports today.
I know. And, you know, we did a decent job.
We're all right.
It was all right. We did okay.
Amazing day, right? Like Thursday afternoon. This day was so big. You ready? Like, you're never going to get to the pitching performance of Ohtani last night or the last four starts that the guys had and how he is dominating baseball. That can't even make it on the radar today.
Right. It's pretty insane if you think about it.
I mean, what a freaking awesome day to be a sports fan and all this crazy stuff just happens, dude.
It does. But this is what we live for. These are the days I live for, to come on the air and actually talk about this stuff. Not that I don't enjoy us talking about Dead Meow 5, as you referred to him yesterday.
Those
are great
5.
Too. But I definitely enjoy these days because it gives us actually some real... And you don't get these days on June 30th very often. Well, actually, I should take that back. The NBA stuff you do, but not this much stuff. Like, literally, we didn't get to the Dodgers till the last hour of the show.
Right. In fact, we actually forgot about them.
We did. We literally forgot about them when they were supposed to be on every week on Thursday at 5:45.
My bad.
No, it's our fault too. We should have remembered. So,
dude, what a story today, this USC-UCLA thing. Because honestly, George, again, if...
Monstrous, Cap. Like, this is legitimately the biggest... with the USC part, particularly when it comes to college football, it is the biggest move, I think, in college football history.
Yeah. Well, listen... when you're playing at Ohio State, at Michigan, you're playing in the heart of America, and the biggest television market in that area is Chicago. So theoretically, the Big Ten has Rutgers in New York.
Well, that's true. We forgot the Northwestern part of it, yeah.
Right. In theory, you've got Rutgers in New York, Maryland in Washington, D.C., Northwestern in Chicago, but Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, these are all middle of the country. Chicago is the centerpiece. And now you've got L.A.
Yeah.
What a move.
Yeah, you know what I think is going to end up happening for the rest of the Pac-12? They're just going to – like, the ACC will pick off a couple of Big 12 teams. They'll pick off two. My guess is, like, West Virginia because they were already part of the Big East back in the day,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe, like, I don't know. Who else would you want? Would you want Kansas if you're the ACC? Just for the basketball, right? You'd probably
you
want
might.
Kansas.
You might. Yeah.
Their football stinks, but you would probably want them just for the basketball. Because ACC is a basketball school. I mean, a basketball conference. So, and then the rest of those schools and the Pac-12 can just merge into their own super conference, you know?
Yeah, so, but they're going to be second-class citizens, dude.
Yeah. We got to run, though, Cappy. Great job today, Cappy. Great job, Laura. We will talk to you mañana. See ya.